Hello and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutin.
Welcome to Consider This. This is the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. Our guest on the show today is Professor Tan Sri Dr. Jamila Mahmood. She's the Executive Director of the Sunway Center for Planetary Health. She was previously the Special Advisor to former Prime Minister Muhyiddin Yassin on public health and had worked alongside the Greater Klang Valley Special Task Force, as well as the Health and Sciences COVID-19 Advisory Group of Experts. Now, based on that experience, she had catalogued the lessons learned from the successes and the failures of the of Klang Valley's response. And what this became eventually was a sort of pandemic response playbook for policymakers and operational teams in other states and perhaps at district levels. She joins us today to share some of those lessons. Dr. Jamila, thank you for being on the show today. Appreciate your time. Before we get into the lessons from the playbook, Dr. Jamila, I was wondering whether we could address the incoming cabinet, particularly now that the health portfolio has been revealed that it will be held by Khairi Jamaluddin. And I was just wondering whether you expect the new health minister to recalibrate Malaysia's pandemic management in any way. Are you expecting to see a shift?
Thank you very much, Melissa, and hello, Sharad. I think that the announcement of Yang Berhormat Khairi Jamaluddin as the Minister of Health is a very welcome announcement. I think the public is happy. I've had the pleasure of working alongside Yang Berhormat on the COVID immunization task force, and he has proven to be a very dynamic leader. He's action-oriented, and he delivers on results. So for the Ministry of Health, you know, he now has the daunting task of coming in at a time when the surge is already happening in other states. The vaccination program has done well, but still has some miles to go in other states. But I am confident that he will do as he did with the vaccine task force and really rally people around, you know, success.
Dr. Jamila, because, you know, also in the mix from that cabinet announcement is the fact that Adam Baba, the former health minister, swapped positions, as it were, with Khairi Jamaluddin. He now heads MOSTI, and MOSTI is involved in, I believe, vaccine procurement. Do you think that this will somehow hamper the strategy going forward because... Will MOSTI retain the role of coordinating a ministry? Will it still be in charge of vaccines? And the fact that the man now helming it is seen as largely failed in his task as health minister.
Well, just to put the record, that Ministry of Health has always led on the vaccine procurement. All procurements are done through the Ministry of Health. There is a Jawatan Kuasa Jaminan Akses Vaccine that is co-chaired by the two ministers. So it's always been a joint effort. Yang Berhormat Khairi Jamaluddin was tasked to be the coordinating minister to ensure the rollout of the vaccine program. It's too early to say. I think that there will be discussions between them. And I would not be surprised that, you know, and it would be actually timely for the entire management of vaccine rollout to be under the Ministry of Health, because we are going to face you know, an endemic state, so to speak. There will be a requirement for booster doses. We'll be vaccinating young people next. And we will be looking at an adult vaccination program in the years to come. And that must be led by the Ministry of Health.
Okay, so that there's a lot to cover going forward. Now, I just wanted to come back to the something you said a bit earlier, to see that there are, the COVID crisis is deepening for other states. I mean, we've really seen how the epicenter has moved outside the Klang Valley. It's worsening in states like Sabah, Penang, Johor. We've seen record high case counts lately. I'm just wondering, Dr. Jamila, I mean, the lessons that you had documented in this playbook, where did you see the operational failures in Klang Valley's response that you're hoping may not be should not be repeated in other states, particularly in states where the healthcare facilities are not as well developed, not as concentrated, and the vaccine rates or vaccination rates are not as high as the Klang Valley?
I think failure is a very harsh word. I think no country in the world can claim they've done very, very well, except maybe New Zealand and you know a few countries. But I think that you know we've had challenges. We've also had real successes. Don't forget that you know we did have in the early phase a good control, so to speak. The purpose of the playbook is really let's go back to how the playbook and how the task force happened in the first place. It was actually during Tan Sri Muhyiddin's time when I was his advisor, and we had discussed and we had laid out that, you know, the business as usual would not address the issues of the rising. At that time, the Greater Klang Valley was contributing up to about 70% of the total cases in Malaysia. And therefore, you know, it was his leadership, Tan Sri Muhyiddin, setting up the task force and getting someone dedicated to lead that in the form of the Deputy Director General, bringing in, you know, multiple stakeholders to address the problem. And I think people forget to give credit for that. And as a result, the task force then brought in a multitude of stakeholders, which is what you should be doing from the outset in actually managing large-scale pandemics, right? It's not just the purview of Ministry of Health. And I think that you know it has become a really interesting eye-opener for everyone that it is possible to solve the problem if we all put our heads together. The role of the military was crucial. External experts were there, other ministries as well, the civil service coming in together with the task force, private sector, civil society. And after 6 weeks, we have seen the drop in the contribution from the Greater Klang Valley from 70% to about 30%. But what's more important is seeing that the hospitals are no longer congested. There is a bed for people. There's enough oxygen available. The playbook, therefore, documents what are the 10 key lessons that must be learned from this experience and that could be replicated in other states or even district levels. Now, everything is very contextual. In the Greater Klang Valley, obviously, you know, internet availability is there. Majority of the residents in this Greater Klang Valley are all on MySejahtera or on Selangka. So it's very different from, say, Sabah or even Kelantan. But there are other elements, for example, how do you collaborate? How do you build a task force? There are templates in there, there are designs. How do you build a rapid field hospital? How do you increase your oxygen availability, not just by bringing cylinders, but actually building a mini bulk oxygen plant? All these things are documented in the playbook, and these are actually replicable.
Dr. Jamila, I don't think there's been any lack of good ideas. The question has always been whether there's been political will. There's been much criticism about the pace of regulatory authorities in in authorizing drug use. There have been concerns about the failures of testing and tracing. There's a multitude of failures that seem to pivot on the question of political will. Do you think that has changed? I mean, do people like yourself have greater influence over policymakers? Are you there largely on the periphery when it comes to decision making?
I think that in the last government, I can honestly say that a lot of advice comes. Obviously, I'm not the only advisor. There are many other, you know, the biggest advisors will be from the Ministry of Health itself. And, you know, all these are taken into consideration and, you know, asked to be implemented. But, you know, I would say that the pace of implementation has to improve. So people like me, you know, as they always say, advisors advise, right? By the end of the day, it will be has to be done by the bureaucracy, the civil society, the civil service, you know, the different line ministries and so on and so forth. So, you know, I have given any form of advice that I feel is based on science, on my experience.
Right. Do you feel that you were heard, that your advice was heard and acted upon?
It's in many areas, yes. And I think that, it's, as I said again, it's not just my advice. It's also an external advisory group that was set up by the Prime Minister. That also contributed a lot of ideas as well. But, you know, it is what it is. I think it's not healthy to look back and find fault on any of those decisions. But I think much more important is how do we move forward now? How do we learn now from that experience? How do we now see which are the areas that need to be strengthened and which are the areas maybe need to be focused on, right? So the vaccination... Right. program has been hugely successful in many ways, but it's not enough. You know, we need to, you know, the vaccines protect people, prevent them from getting serious illness, but we need to stop this virus from moving around the community and therefore turn off the tap of virus supply. So that requires us to have good public health measures, a very fine test, case, isolate and support strategy. And these are the things that I think will be the priority. But in fact, before the change in government, it was already in the works that, you know, through not just the MKN meetings, but also in the recovery plan, that the FTTIS would be a crucial element to our recovery. So things were already moving in the right direction.
I do want to touch on that, but first I want to ask you, you know, this playbook that you say is very contextual, depending on where, and there are operational lessons that states can take from it. And I'm just wondering whether you have had feedback. Have states, have district level pandemic management officials come to you for feedback, or have they taken on board this playbook lessons? Have you heard back from any parties?
Yes, indeed. You may have seen that in Penang, one of the infectious diseases specialists actually mentioned that they need to adopt the playbook now for Penang. I was in Sabah a week and a half ago to look at the vaccine program, but also to speak about the playbook, and they are adopting it. They've set up a task force. I know that Professor Adiba has gone down to Johor to talk to the health department as well and others and share the lessons from the playbook. So many of us who have been on the task force are now actively engaging different states. We've been to Pera as well to share the experience. So I think that the Ministry of Health has now distributed the playbook for the state health Pengarahs to look at. And to see what they can take from that and adapt. And all of us have put ourselves at the service of the different states' health departments, that if they need any support, any advice, just someone to talk to, we're here for them.
Okay, Dr. Jamila, we're going to take a quick break, but let's come back and continue this conversation in just a couple of minutes. Folks, stay tuned to Consider This. Hello, thank you so much for staying with Shraddha and I on Consider This. Let's continue our conversation with Tansri, Dr. Jamila Mahmood, currently the Executive Director of the Sunway Centre for Planetary Health. I want to come back, Dr. Jamila, to something you said about vaccines not being the silver bullet. And I'm just wondering, you know, there's been a lot of advice about not putting all our eggs into the vaccine basket, it being only one of the measures for us to effectively control this outbreak. But how else do you think this this incoming administration can pivot to focus on other parts that perhaps we have fallen short on, particularly testing and tracing and isolation and support?
and you're right. The vaccination program is essential. Let's not also under underplay the role of vaccination. There's enough evidence to show that it really does reduce the risk of severe disease, and I think that is very, very important. And the more people are vaccinated, the less chances that you have the virus moving around the community. So really, you know, to switch off that tap that I mentioned earlier is also to vaccinate people, but to put in the FTTIS, the testing, tracing. It's not just about testing, it's also about tracing the people, the close contacts that you want to trace, but also isolating them. How do we make sure that they actually comply to that isolation? Because that's how you you really prevent the virus from going into the community again. So we will be able to have some form of containment measures once we are able to vaccinate as many people as possible and then put this in place. But the other thing is, of course, you know, part of my role in the previous government was also to look at health reform. And I had already presented my report before I left. And it calls for us to relook at health at large in the country, and that the health systems that need to be upgraded. You know, it's an incredible opportunity now to look at, you know, how do we build in, you know, digitalization, electronic medical records, the use of automated tracing. You know, we can no longer depend on manual ways of doing things. But then again, I come back to the context. That may be relevant for West Malaysia, but we also need to look at health reform in East Malaysia in a different lens. How do we bring them to a level that, you know, we can't assume it's a level playing field right now? So there's a lot of work to be done. I am quite convinced that, you know, under Yang Berhormat Kari Jamaluddin's leadership, he will take all these into account and then start, you know, really see where those low-hanging fruits are. How do we manage, you know, and allow our rakyat to live with the pandemic in a safe way, and allow businesses to reopen, lives to go on, schools to reopen, and people to have some form of normalcy again.
Dr. Jamila, when you step back and look at, you know, the COVID phenomena, in terms of the structural issues, and you've already mentioned some of them, but what do you think has been the most damaging? Has it been the decades of underinvestment in the health system, the fact that, you know, per capita, our GDP spending is very low on health. You know, ICU bed levels are also suboptimal, and that's perhaps the cause of a lot of the congestion and perhaps the deaths that we've seen. What do you think needs to be done, and what kind of timeline? Is it going to be more than one electoral cycle that's going to be needed to repair the damage that's actually decades long?
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Sharad. Our investment in health has always been too low. And we have seen now with this pandemic that if you don't have good health systems, if you don't invest in health, everything else is impacted. And this is because health is looked at as a very siloed Ministry of Health responsibility. Whereas I can tell you now, sitting in my new role, why I'm passionate about planetary health is because health, you know, 80% of health is contributed by environment and social factors, and only 20% in the medical care complex. Therefore, if we want to look at health reform and transformation, it's not only for the Ministry of Health, it's about economic planning unit, it's the finance ministry, education ministry, all the different stakeholders that now need to look at the big health challenges we are going to face as an aging population that will have different set of challenges. And therefore, you know, we are now going through a pandemic, you know, and we need to also acknowledge that despite the fact that there is general underinvestment in health, not in the last government, but over the decades, that we were still able to, you know, offer healthcare to our citizens. So I think, right, you know, we need to just keep moving forward. And I think health transformation has to be the priority of the new minister.
Dr. Jamila, I confessed to you that I hadn't heard of planetary health before this. Now, learning about your new role at Sunway Centre, can you tell us a little bit? I mean, what are the global conversations happening around planetary health that Malaysia should be plugged into? Because it feels like this is something, you know, part of the Build Back Better mantra that we need to be looking at post, you know, once we come out of this pandemic.
Yeah. Planetary health is a fairly new discipline. Well, it's been around in different forms, but now it's been consolidated. From 2014, 2015, you know, this has emerged now as an incredibly important field of health. But it's about, you know, the fact that you can't have human health without a planet health. And COVID is a great example. It didn't jump out of nowhere. It's happened because of man's impact on the environment, and therefore, you know, allowing viruses to jump from animals to humans. You know, look at the CO2 emissions, the impact on climate, and we're having a climate crisis. So there are also great diseases, amount of diseases and challenges we're going to face as a result of the climate crisis. So this pandemic is just a dress rehearsal. I've been saying this for the longest time. Be aware that until and unless we start preparing for you know, a safer planet to live in, we will be having more pandemics, we will be having a lot of diseases arising from the climate crisis, and even our consumption patterns will lead us to many other very worrying situations like antimicrobial resistance and so forth. And the number of deaths you're going to get from that is even greater than the pandemic.
Dr. Jamil, let's go back to the question of deaths. Last week, the country peaked, I think at the end of the week, by Thursday, at about 400 deaths, many of whom, about 25%, were brought in dead. What do you think can be done in the short term to address this appalling death rate?
Yes, I think this is very worrying. And in the Greater Klang Valley Task Force, we started to interrogate and investigate why this was so. Many of those who were brought in dead didn't even know they had COVID, right? Because they were asymptomatic, and suddenly they go into a very severe disease quite rapidly. You would have seen that quite a significant amount of those who have been brought in dead are now the Bukan Warga Negara non-citizens, right? And I think some of them could be people who are afraid, who are hiding because perhaps their documents are not up to date and so on and so forth. So until, you know, we really get the message out to people that, you know, if you have symptoms, you have to be tested. You have to ask for help if you have some of these. So what has happened? Now, in the Greater Klang Valley Task Force, what happened was they built, or rather we built something called a virtual COVID assessment center, where you don't have to crowd into one of the stadiums to be assessed, but, you know, so on your MySejahtera or on Sri Lanka, you can actually notify your symptoms, and then there are red flags that will pop up that, you know, allow us to collect people to be assessed or to be put in hospital. So the other thing is that, you know, early access to treatment is very important. So the earlier we catch people who have the symptoms, we take them in, you know, for oxygen treatment or early treatment, therefore we stop the progression of the disease. So I think that the missing link then was, you know, how do we get to these people who may not know that they have COVID, may not even have been tested, and to bring them in as early as possible. And we're also seeing that those with comorbidity are the ones who are really badly affected. So I think that, you know, the minute we identify people with comorbidity, so even if they be mildly symptomatic, they need to be brought somewhere where they can be observed. So all this has been put in place, you know, in some way in the Greater Klang Valley Task Force. It needs to be strengthened. And I think that, you know, again, as I said, the Greater Klang Valley is special in the sense that it's got people on the mobile phone, Sri Lanka and MySejahtera. Oh. But think now about, you know, those who don't have access to that.
Right. So sorry, if I could just sort of interrupt, because we're running out of time and this is such a fascinating area. Beyond vaccinations and vaccines, there are the question of therapeutics, real advances in terms of cures. Do you see Malaysia getting on top or into the queue to purchase those therapeutic drugs that might, in fact, be a real game changer against the pandemic?
Yes, I think, you know, let's put it this way. When the minister was in charge of the vaccine rollout coordination, he and the Minister of Health then were very instrumental in trying to get access to the vaccines as quickly as possible. So I think even before, in the last government, there was already discussions, advanced discussions on already procuring the booster doses, ensuring that we wouldn't be caught, without vaccines. We would look into modern therapeutics. So I think these are all the things that we need to now actively, you've got to anticipate, right, what's going to happen with a virus that seems to be mutating into a more aggressive virus each time. So I believe that, this is a task for the new minister. And, I hope that, and I'm confident that he will look into all of this.
All right. Thank you so much for your time. That was our conversation with Tan Sri Dr. Jabila Mahmood, the Executive Director of Sunway Centre's Centre for Planetary Health. We're wrapping up this episode of Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutin, signing off for the evening.
Thank you so much for watching. Good night.